This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message.
A little talk on the Oregon Trail and another versatile recipe from the Healthy Foodie, music by Melissa Otto, and more.
Don't go anywhere. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're thrilled that you're joining us this Monday morning at Wake Up With Hope.
And not only is it Monday, but it's International Day for Biological Diversity.
Oh, yes.
God has created so many different types of fruits, vegetables, and flowers and other things in our incredible earth.
And did you know that most of us eat the same types of fruits and vegetables over and over and
over? That's so true.
Yet there are so many other types of produce available.
That's right. And if there's a farmer's market in your area, today or this week is a great time to visit the farmer's market and the co-ops in your local area and try a new fruit and a new vegetable. Try adding some different colors to your meals.
That sounds fun. I mean, we love to eat, I know we eat a lot of carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good.
Yep, and there's so many other things. Tomatoes, we have lots of tomatoes in our garden.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Different varieties, so fun.
You know, and it's so true that God has created so many different amazing things in our environment, and it's all for us to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go out there and celebrate biodiversity. And on today's program, we also have a diverse lineup. Let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1843, the very first major wagon headed on the Oregon Trail departed from Elm Grove, Missouri. Though Native Americans, fur trappers, and missionaries had lived in the Oregon Territory for decades, books and lectures caught the attention of white American farmers as they heard of the potential for successful agricultural endeavors. The Oregon Trail was filled with obstacles, including accidental discharge of firearms, travelers falling off of mules or horses, people drowning in river crossings and getting plagued by disease. After entering the mountains, the trail also became much more difficult, with steep ascents and descents over rocky terrain. The pioneers risked injury from overturned and runaway wagons. Yet the vast majority of pioneers on the trail survived to reach their destination in the fertile, well-watered land of Western Oregon.
You know, people brave the trail because of the prospects on the other side. You know, many times the journey of following Jesus' way becomes difficult. We may lose friends or jobs, be challenged beyond our imagination to be bold for Christ and many other things. And how can we stay motivated? Just as the pioneers knew when they reached the Oregon that it would be all worth it, we can be sure that when we reach heaven, we will surely say, "It was all worth it." So stay true, friends. Stay faithful. Remember that God has promised you that you are not on this trail alone. He has promised to be with you, to guide you along and strengthen you. He will not fail you, and it will be worth it at the end.
Oh, amen. I love that. We're living for that day when Jesus comes.
Yes. Gardening season is underway in most parts of the country. And if you've planted tomatoes, we have the perfect recipe for you this morning. The Healthy Foodie is back and in the kitchen sharing a versatile tomato sauce recipe.
When God made the world, He spoke it into existence. He spoke the sun, the moon, the oceans, land, flowers, and even animals into existence. Yet, when it came to man, God stooped down to perfectly create humanity. Neil Schofield takes us through an artistic journey on the creation of Adam on today's episode of Masterstroke.
Michelangelo painted the fresco, The Creation of Adam, on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in 1511. It took him 4 years to paint the total fresco, but he only had a few weeks to paint the creation story. And yet this is one of the most well-known paintings in the world. The moment when the finger of God and man almost touch is like the smile of the Mona Lisa. It's what makes this painting unique. It builds suspense, anticipation. Now, of course, this is a romantic view of creation. The Bible says God formed man from the dust of the ground. God then breathed into Adam and he became a living being. When Bishop Giovio saw this painting in the 1520s, he couldn't work it out. He said, "Among the most important figures is that of an old man in the middle of the ceiling, who is represented in the act of flying through the air. There is a clear message I get from this painting. There is no limit to the power of God. God can create something out of nothing. In fact, imagine if you had a God who was so powerful he could do all that you asked. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Imagine if you had a God who had so much power, he could do above all that you asked. Woof! What if you had a God who could do abundantly above all that you asked? Now, imagine if you had a God who could do exceedingly abundantly above all that you asked. Do you know that our God is even more powerful than that? The Bible says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now that's a powerful God.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We sure hope you're enjoying your time with us this morning. When we return, we'll have music, and later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be encouraging us with a truth-filled message. Stay with us.
Think for a minute. What kind of hope do you hold on to? We all hope for something. We have to, in order to survive. Hope is what makes us transcend our circumstances and trust the possibility of a different outcome. It is a bridge between now and the future, a grip into what seems unattainable. But is hope the same as a dream? Is it but an aspiration, an expectation? A deceiving gateway to frustrations. Real hope is not an illusion, nor wishful thinking, much less the presumptuous assumption that everything is going to be okay. True hope is an offspring of faith, the kind of faith that is firmly grounded in the Word of God, who cannot lie and never disappoints. Therefore, to hope is to wait and to move, to believe and to obey, to know and be still when silence is all there is. But if your hope is in yourself or in others, pause and think for a minute. It might be anything but true hope.
Blue skies remind us of peace and God's care. Melissa Otto joins us this morning to sing Blue Sky.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
Coming right after the break, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written shares a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. But first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
I like living in America. It's a great country.
That's true, but we've given the world some bad health.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at the standard American diet, it's full of fat, sugar, and salt.
You're right. America has given the world fast food. And eating the standard American diet gives you the standard American diseases like heart disease, cancer, strokes, diabetes.
And those diseases take us to the standard American doctor,
who prescribes the standard American drug, which treats the symptoms, but not the cause.
That help us to die the standard American death.
So what kind of life does a standard American live?
Sad, 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 sad.
And it all begins with the standard American diet. So if you want to live a more abundant life, then you need to adopt God's original diet from the Garden of Eden. Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, and legumes.
But what about the burgers, fries, and Coke?
they'll make you sad. But the Creator's bounty, look at that.
Wow, that makes me glad.
Exactly. So, don't live the sad life, live the glad life. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us to share a devotional thought. Pastor John?
Really good to see you today. I hope you're well. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. Happy to have a few moments to share with you something that I hope will encourage you today and lead you closer to the heart of God. 1980, the Olympic Games were held in Moscow, Russia. Many nations did not go. They boycotted the Moscow Olympics. Political reasons, lots of nations were not there, including the United States. One country that was there was Australia. And a fellow named Ian Campbell was competing in the triple jump. He runs down the runway, hops, steps, and jumps, and he says to himself, "That was phenomenal. I reckon I might win the gold medal with a jump like that." It was. The man jumped like a gazelle. He knew he was in contention for an Olympic gold medal and was astonished to turn and see the judge raise the flag saying, "Foul jump, no jump, that jump doesn't count." The Brazilian world record holder triple jumped, great jump. He turns, the flag is raised by the judge, no jump, it was a foul. Well, what's going on here? Oh, you know what's going on here. 9 of the 12 jumps by Campbell and the Brazilian jumper didn't count. They were ruled out. They were disqualified, as it were, fouls. Only 3 of their 12 jumps between them counted. The judge raising the flag was a Russian. The person who should have come third but ultimately won the gold medal was a Russian. Now, are you suggesting they're cheating? No, I'm not suggesting they were cheating. I'm telling you flat out they were cheating. It's not a suggestion. This is an absolute claim. It's a statement of fact. They were cheating like cheats. Unbelievable. Now, put yourself in the situation of that man jumping, the Australian man. What would a gold medal mean for him? Well, surely it would mean the just desserts for his hard training and his excellent athleticism. He'd have gone back to his home country a bit of a hero, you know, hero small h, not a hero like a firefighter or a hero like a doctor who saved somebody's life, but hero like a sportsman. He would have gone back surely to a great career, endorsements maybe. He could have gone on to bigger and brighter things. No, in fact, he didn't. He went home without a medal. People were kind to the man. He ended up with a good job, I think, in Australian rules football as an administrator of some kind or a manager or something. But his career ended after that. He got an injury and he was never the same again, and he wasn't able to jump. His one shot at achievement, demonstrating to the world what he was really capable of, was stolen from him by cheating. And unfortunately, that happens. Ooh, another infamous cheating scandal. In the final of one of the boxing divisions, was it heavyweight? I can't remember. At the Seoul Olympics in 1988, American Roy Jones Jr. was fighting against a Korean fighter. You already know what's going to happen, right? Where was the fighter from? Korea. Where were the Olympics? Seoul. Seoul, Korea. Now, the judges demonstrated, or let me put that another way. The count were, if you counted punches that landed and so on, oh, Roy Jones Jr. absolutely dominated the Korean boxer. And they brought the two fighters out, and the winner is, and the judge or the referee raised the hand of the Korean boxer, who knew that he was hammered in the ring. In fact, he then raised the arm of Roy Jones, knowing what had done. He knew he didn't win. He knew that he didn't deserve the gold medal. He thought about refusing to raise his arm because he knew that he'd been beaten. It was obvious that the Koreans were cheating, which surprises me. I wouldn't have thought that the Koreans would have stooped to that. But they did in that moment. Perhaps the lure of a gold medal was just too much. What's interesting about this is that the Korean boxer later said, "My life has been gloomy ever since." Winning the gold medal that he didn't deserve, he felt, ruined his life. Isn't that something? Roy Jones Jr. went on to a very successful career in professional boxing after that. Cheating. You think it's really worth it? I mean, how about that Russian? "I won a gold medal." "Did you really?" "Well, no, actually, I got it by cheating, but I still have the gold medal." That's hollow, isn't it? There are still athletes alive today. The whole world knows that they won their gold medals because they were pumped up full of anabolic steroids. Everybody knows. And so their life as a gold medalist and as an Olympic champion is pretty shallow, isn't it? It's pretty hollow. It's a lot of pantomime. It's theater. It's acting. Cheating. Who wins? Nobody. Any victory that you gain from cheating? Nah. You cheat on your taxes. You've got to live with that. You know you cheated. You cheat in an exam. "Oh, I got 94 instead of 84. And you cheated. That's empty. You're playing Monopoly with your family and you're cheating. Oh, you can't do that. It's so dishonorable. It's so low. And ultimately, you are hurt by that. Let's think of the greatest case of cheating ever. The Bible tells us that long ago in heaven, Satan coveted the place of God. He said, "I will be like the Most High." He wanted to sit in God's throne and rule in the place of God. He began a whisper campaign. And what was he doing? He was cheating God out of worship that belonged to God. Satan, the Bible says he, as God, will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What is the worship that Satan receives? It's invalid. The whole big conflict in the book of Revelation at the end of time is about worship. Instead of worshiping God, people who receive the mark of the beast will worship Satan by a certain mechanism. And what kind of worship is that to receive when you know you're not the God of the world? You know you're not the God of the universe. You know you're not the creator. Well, I guess it doesn't have to make sense. When you're caught in sin, it just has to appeal to your ego. There was Eve in the Garden of Eden, innocent Eve, pure Eve, and Satan said, "Has God said you shouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree that grows in the midst of the garden?" And Eve said, "Oh, yeah, God said, don't eat it, don't even touch it, lest you die." And Satan said in Genesis 3 and verse 4, "You will not surely die." And Eve was now obedient to the devil rather than obedient to God. But how does he get a thrill from that? That's false obedience. It's invalid, in something obedience. There's no justification to it, you see. Cheating. Satan is a cheat. And as he draws you and makes overtures towards you to get you to step out of the pathway of God, who's being cheated here? God is being cheated. God wants you in heaven with him forever. God has eternal life for you. And for you not to give him your heart is to cheat God out of what's truly his. It's all empty. Give God your whole heart and enjoy the assurance of everlasting life. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for blessing us this morning.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow, friends. We'll have a special feature on what to do with our failures, an inspiring Reflections of Hope episode, and we'll continue our series on knowing God with Dr. John Peckham. We can't wait to see you then.
And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. You'll be blessed and encouraged.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. And today's Bible promise comes from Psalm chapter 16, verse 11.
It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
What a beautiful promise. You know, he promises to show us the path of life and to fill us with joy as we dwell in his presence. What a blessing.
Wow. And what a blessing today's program has been, friends. We wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have been in your presence during this time that we've shared together. Thank you for just the wholesome, hope-filled content that has filled our hearts with joy. And that's because we're in your presence. And as we conclude this program, we don't want to conclude our time with you. In fact, we want you to come along with us, Lord, into our day. Abide with us. We want to remain in your presence as we experience the greatest joy. In Jesus' name, amen.